I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to the Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I am doing great, Vito. It is good to be here as always. I am right where I want to be. And how are you?
I am doing well, thank you. It is Monday, March the 11th, 2024. A lot is happening. A lot's been going on. We're in election year 2024. Tomorrow, the Georgia primaries. And President Trump could lock up the GOP nomination with a victory in Georgia, home of the deceitful and lying left wing such as Fannie. I'm calling her Fannie. Oh, Fannie. Fannie Willis and her
Fannie.
Lover. And Fannie. Fannie. George Soros is Fannie. And tomorrow, President Trump could lock it up. So it'll be a good day. And certainly, you know, President Trump is not done being the punching bag by the Washington, D.C. syndicate. What will they come up with next to attack and assail the man? I think they're regurgitating a third charge in that Gene Carroll saga, the lies and the misinformation there. And so it's just never ending. But hope you had a good weekend. I hope everyone out there has had a good weekend. Welcome, Boyd. Hey, Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. I read it every day. Got some stories from it this past weekend, which were absolutely fantastic. Hello to Sue from New Mexico. She's on the switchboard. And hello to everybody out there in podcast land. Hope everybody's doing well. And some places having dinner and getting ready to vote in Georgia tomorrow. So we are really, we're raring to go today. It was,
well, don't forget, it is the first day of Ramadan. So remember this, ladies and gentlemen, Ramadan is just another month without lunch. What that means is those who follow Ramadan, even though they say they are fasting, or it is a month of fasting, and they want you to feel sorry for them, remember this. During the month of Ramadan, the followers of Islam gorge out on a huge breakfast, and then they gorge out at night and eating and partying until the late hours and eating and eating and eating for dinner. So they eat a big breakfast and a big dinner, and they skip lunch, and they try to tell you that they are fasting. So
yeah.
It's just another month without lunch.
You know, at least Catholics, you know, during the 45 days of Lent, you know, we just don't eat meat on Wednesdays and Fridays. I mean, you know, and of course you make a couple of promises and you try to, you know, adhere to that. And one day is the Wednesday is like a Ash Wednesday is usually like we kind of fast a little bit. So, but we don't wait until sundown and then gorge ourselves. So that's Thursday we do that. So
every religion does things different, but when a faith lies to you and tries to be something that they're not in order to pull your emotional heartstrings and make you feel that they are the victim and having a tough time through the month and that they are so devout and they're lying to you, then it's got to be said. Very few people say it. Very controversial. But it's just another month without lunch.
You know what's interesting about this whole Islam thing, Al, as we have started studying this back in 2007, And really, it was actually the Islamists who were being politically correct, and they were challenging the infidel to know Islam. But as we study it, what I find is that Islam was created in 623 AD by Muhammad. And Muhammad seems to have taken parts of Christianity and parts of Judaism and then bastardized those religions and then made his own religion. For instance, Lent is 45 days. And we don't eat meat on Fridays. And it used to be you don't eat meat Wednesdays and Fridays. And suddenly Ramadan is for, what, 40 days, 45 days? And you don't eat during sunlight, during daytime. So there's a little similarity there. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Islam believes there was no Son of God, and Jesus is a mere prophet, and Muhammad is the perfect man. Yet he raped a six-year-old girl. I'm sorry, he had intercourse with a nine-year-old girl, married her when she was six, and consummated the marriage when she was nine. You know, unlike Jesus, who was the perfect man, truly is the perfect man. So, you know, there's a lot of things that Muhammad took in order to create Islam, and some of it's just not good.
That is true. So usually the killings by Islamic terrorists and jihadis and angry just followers of Islam, through the month of Ramadan, they celebrate by becoming more violent. And in anticipation of Ramadan, we do have some Ramadan killings, and we'll keep the tab. And you can go to thereligionofpeace.com and follow it right along with us. And yesterday we had 27 villagers were massacred by Islamic extremists in Burkina Faso, which is a regular occurrence. We had two Islamic terrorists killed two people in Pakistan and executed them. One civilian was murdered by a terrorist in Afghanistan. And in Pakistan, we had a suicide bomber on a motorcyclist kill himself and at least one other person and injuring two others. So that is the day. Well, it could have been at the night. That was the day before Ramadan violence. So we will keep a tab.
Also, don't forget that in Nigeria, Muslims kidnapped 287 children from the ages of 5 to 12 from their school. 287 Nigerian kids aged 5 to 12 were kidnapped today from their school by an Islamist Fulani militia in the state of Kaduna. That was on March the 8th. This is not the same incident as one we reported on here. That one took place in Borno State. This one took place in Kaduna State. That one involved Boko Haram jihadi. So Boko Haram and the Fulanis are going to town, kidnapping young children, and they're imprisoning them, and certainly they are converting them to Islam, or they enslaving them, or they will die. So there were no protests by the pro-Palestinians, by the way, around the world. No protests by pro-Palestinians in Nigeria or in Burkina Faso. Nor was there in London, England, or in Dearborn, Michigan, or Minneapolis, Minnesota. So,
you know, it's primarily Christians that are targeted, and they just don't care. But
United
on some
Nations
good
is
news
silent.
On it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm just going to switch topics over to some good news in the world of golf. What a weekend that was, huh?
Whoa! Wow. So the PGA is still in. So they continued their floor swing with Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill or in Orlando. The weather was warm and windy Sunday. Yesterday was a bit cooler and windy. Going into Saturday's round, there were seven players tied for the lead at 7-under. That was going into Saturday's round. Two players emerged as leaders going into Sunday's round, and that would be world number one Scottie Scheffler and Irishman Shane Lowry. And they were actually playing really well, But I got to, man, on Sunday, if you didn't watch it, if you forgot to watch, if you were watching something else, Scottie Scheffler absolutely turned it on Sunday, and he ran away, leaving the field behind him, taking a five-shot lead into the famed 18th hole after Wyndham Clark birdied the 18 ahead of Scottie. So Scottie had a six-shot lead through 17 holes. And, American Wyndham Clark was one hole ahead of Scottie Scheffler, and he birdies the famed 18 hole. Well, Scottie gets up there on the 18th. He smokes a low driver that kind of bends to the right, splits the fairway, right down the middle of the fairway. He's got 148 yards to the hole. He knocks a 9-iron to about 20 feet, and he makes an easy par 4 to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational for the second time in 3 years. Wyndham Clark finished a solo second. Shane Lowry, the poor guy was stalled. He had some really good words to say about Scheffler, and he was, you know, a little bit critical of himself and his play. And I got to say, I just love the way the guy gives interviews, because he was just absolutely candid. You know, he was pissed at the way he played, but he says, you know, he enjoyed, unfortunately, he was on the receiving end of Scottie Scheffler just going absolutely crazy on the greens. And he's figured out his putting woes that Scheffler did. So Shane Lowry finishes a solo third. Next week, the Players are in Jacksonville for the Players Championship. So that should be really good. Just absolutely unbelievable play. Number 16, par 5. Scheffler's got no shot to the green in two. He's standing almost in the bunker and in the fairway. He's got no stance. He chips it out. And then Scheffler proceeds to knock a shot to like within 4 feet of the pin to make a birdie and just absolutely slammed the door. How about the fried egg on 17? He knocks it in the bunker on his tee shot in the bunker on 17. A fried egg means that it buries in the sand, and you see the top of the ball. Scheffler knocks it out of the bunker and knocks it to 2 feet, makes the putt. It's like, oh, this guy was just incredible, absolutely incredible. So it was good to see him win.
Yep, exciting golf, no doubt.
Rory McIlroy on Saturday, drove the number 10 green. Number 10, if you take it across the out of bounds, it's 384 yards. He drove the green. Let me tell you something. That is such an incredible shot. I was absolutely in awe. I mean, there's a bunker. I can't even clear the bunker hitting it straight down the fairway, let alone carry the bunker over and onto the green. That was just absolutely incredible. Oh, my God. Whoa.
Yeah, the highlight was amazing.
So, and then the ladies, they were in Communist China this past weekend for the Blue Bay. Lydia Ko was on fire on Saturday. She tied for the overnight lead at 12 on the par with American Bailey Tardy and also Sarah Schmelzel. Sarah Schmelzel, she's a new name for the Americans. She's actually been playing very well. Japan's Ayaka Furu has also been playing great golf. Both of them played really well this past weekend. American Sarah Schmelzel was tied with American Bailey Tardy and Lydia Ko going into Sunday's final round. But on Sunday, Lydia Ko got stalled. She cooled off. She couldn't do anything. The poor lady, she shoots a one under par to finish tied for fourth. American Sarah Schmelzel and Japan's Ayaka Furu, they played great these past 2 weeks. And Schmelzel, she finished solo second, and Furu finished solo third. But the star of the day on Sunday at Blue Bay in Communist China was the American Bailey Tardy, who was seeking her first LPGA Tour win. She was on the minor league tour for the ladies called the Epson Tour in 2022, and she graduated last year to the LPGA. Really hadn't done anything. The 27-year-old played outstanding golf on Saturday. She shot a 66, which is 6 under par. On Sunday, she shoots a 7 under par 65 in the final round, vaults to into the lead at 19 under par. She smokes the field. She wins by four shots, and she wins her first LPGA Tour victory. Yes, I get excited. I love the fact that the Americans, of course, won, but and the way they've done it, it's just absolutely impressive. So congratulations to American Bailey Tardy, which is a name you probably want to know. Because I think that this young lady just needed to break the ice in order to become a household name. She probably won't be a Lydia Ko. She probably won't be an Annika Sorenstam. But I think she'll be a winner on the LPGA Tour. The LPGA Tour is also a winner because they have banned cross-dressing males from competing on lady events. So congratulations to the LPGA or to ladies golf and ladies professional golf for keeping it true. I love men playing on PGA. The LPGA should be for biological women. And so congratulations to professional ladies golf. It's a way to honor women for perfecting their craft. And not some dude who wants to now identify as a woman because he's second rate when it comes to trying to compete on the PGA or the Corn Ferry Tour or some lesser tour, and he can't make it. You know, suck it up, cupcake. You don't put a dress on and identify as a woman just because you got your feelings hurt. You're not good enough to compete on the men's tour. You know, get a fucking job, okay? So I want to say kudos to professional ladies golf. I wish other professional ladies sports had the intestinal fortitude to pass measures such as that.
Well, it's got to start somewhere, so let that be the first. And the San Francisco Giants are now requiring every player to stand for the national anthem or you get kicked off the team, which is going to be great for Major League Baseball, and I hope that trend continues. So,
yes.
Maybe there's just little data points that the pendulum is swinging back to normalcy.
Yeah, I think people are finally they're getting it. You know, people are finally getting upset. You know, for instance, what Caitlin Clark did was outstanding. You know, and for a guy who can't make it in men's basketball to then put on a dress and then identify as a woman and then dominate women and like they did in the high school games, they actually physically hurt biological females because of their superior power, okay? And they're bigger by trade, okay? They're bigger in track and field. I mean, it's about damn time that people start standing up and say enough is enough. You know, the perverted left wing in America has adopted the Marxist movement, and they're trying to normalize perversion. Well, you know what? The trans movement is one half of 1%. Why are they making this, you know, to be out the majority when in fact they're not? And this is insane. You know, the left has co-opted the women's movement, and in the meantime, they continue to step all over the women's movement. Now, did they normalize it because Michelle Obama could be a man? I don't know. You know, it's just coincidental that they decided to normalize it during Dopey Joe's installation. I don't know.
No, if you want to divide this country, Vito, I mean, truly divide it, you blur the lines of the sexes when you have cross-dressers now where the majority has to accept that lifestyle and embrace it. That divides our union, our republic. And that is why it is done, because a country divided will more easily fall. This is a Marxist tactic. The communist Chinese are pushing it. And the Marxists that are Marxist sympathetic legislators are pushing this agenda, whether it be businessmen, whether it be journalists or politicians, teachers, you name it. There's a lot of them. But that tide can be turned, because once we wake up, the majority, we can squash these cockroaches.
Well stated, Al. You're absolutely right. And, you know, and where else they blur the lines in this whole thing and the way they change the subversion of language, you know, they make people out to be anti, you know, gay because you oppose the perversion of transgenderism. You know what? You're trying to sexualize our children. You're desensitizing them. But that's what the Marxists call for. That is the Clowerton Piven way, is to desensitize children. That's how you capture a society. And, you know, it's time to push back on these Marxists. It's time to push back on this Clowerton Piven. You know, Eugene McCarthy was right. Unfortunately, this has come, you know, well after his time, and the progressive movement has masqueraded into a freedom movement, and there's nothing progressive about, you know, this perversion that they've adopted, and it's sad. So congratulations to Lady Professional Sports, Professional Golf, excuse me, you know, for banning this insanity. And you know, that's all it is. It's insane. And they've tried to normalize it. Dopey Joe and the Obama alumni machine have tried to normalize this issue. And you know what? You shove it down the American people's throats, and they're doing exactly what you stated. It's a way to further divide this nation. And division is the number one goal of the Marxist movement. And the subversion of language. You know, that's huge. I just absolutely love former FBI agent Dan Smoot's, you know, commentary concerning a constitutional republic versus a democracy and the subversion of language. And each and every day, and I'm going to say on a specific political party, the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party, because there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has tried, through the subversion of language, to change the vernacular in America. And they continue to slam America, America's constitutional republic, to sell a democracy. Well, Dan Smoots, a former FBI agent, says it best about a democracy.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic, to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
The totalitarians have obscured the real meaning. There are so many points. A democracy is universal equality versus a constitutional republic of individual freedom. And what is the main mission of the left wing of the Washington, D.C. syndicate, of the Uniparty? And that is to take Americans' individual freedoms. We saw this after the attack on 9/11 with the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. And in the name of national security, we have rescinded some of our individual liberties. And now fast forward to Obama, and then fast forward to the Biden and Obama alumni regime. They have sought to absolutely dilute and dismantle our Bill of Rights and our constitutional republic on so many fronts. And I'm gonna read it once again. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, which Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine have absolute contempt for. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Well, this government, this executive branch of government, which is where Joe Biden was installed to, which was Borders R. Kamala Harris was installed, which Obama alumni machine occupy, and our United States Congress, which was led by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and McConnell, all failed the American people, and they failed to guarantee that we would be protected from an invasion. And since January 21st, 2021, America has been intentionally invaded thanks to Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine. They have intentionally opened up America's borders. They have intentionally allowed, some say, 15 to 20 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens into America. And it is the Obama alumni machine who orchestrated the some 90 executive orders that dopey Joe Biden signed in his first 10 days or 30 days of installation that rescinded the Trump border policies. And I firmly believe that Joe Biden was installed because Joe Biden is a heartless and a hollow man. Joe Biden is an empty suit, and he's the perfect chimpanzee to carry out the motivation and the motives in dismembering our constitutional republic. And I say that because Charles Krauthammer, may he rest in peace, in 2009 stated that Barack Obama will systematically seek to dismantle our constitutional republic. Now, some dismiss that as hyperbole. Some dismiss that as a comment. And, of course, the left-wing media, who was so awestruck by the great black dope, they failed to cover that. And yet, it was Barack Hussein Satoru Obama who used and abused the U.S. Constitution, and also discarded the Constitution, something that Joe Biden is presently undertaking. Now, in all fairness, Joe Biden does have the Obama alumni machine in the executive branch of government, and they are ones that certainly are with the undertaking. The executive branch of government and all the bureaucrats who are holdovers from the Barack Hussein Satoru Obama regime. And we absolutely have recent examples, okay? So while the left is instilling fear, while the DNC legacy media is instilling fear, okay, in an election year of what potentially President Trump could be, you know, they're calling him a tyrant, that he's going to be a dictator, that is absolutely false. It's categorically false. President Trump said on day one he would be a dictator and start drilling. That's it. He would start drilling. Now, of course, the subversion of language by the left wing is to say that President Trump's going to be a dictator, when in fact the real dictator, although he's a hollow man, is Joe Biden, the wicked man. He's up there on the podium, and of course he's propped up because he has no soul. He has no heart. He's a hollow man. He's the perfect chimpanzee to do exactly what the Obama alumni machine goal is, and that is to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic, including the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Since January 20, 2021, we, the people, have witnessed how freedom of speech has come under attack under the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni machine. As recently as last week, last Thursday, during the State of the Union teleprompter reading, when in fact a gold star dad stood up. Now, I understand the decorum part of it. I understand that people, you know, you have to show a little bit of respect. But when you have a man who is installed as president of the United States, who disrespects the American people, who disrespects law enforcement, who disrespects members of the United States military, who disrespects the families of fallen soldiers, and lacks the transparency to actually care about those family members who lost a loved one serving in the United States military. And in August of 2021, 13 American soldiers were killed in Afghanistan, if you remember, all due to the Biden-Harris Obama alumni machine pulling out of Afghanistan. I'm sorry, fleeing Afghanistan. And 13 American soldiers were killed. And Biden, being Biden, and of course, the lack of transparency and basically the lack of being coherent, never addresses that. And you see, that's the whole motive behind Biden and him being installed. He does not address the crisis at hand, whether it's a crisis at the border or the fall of Afghanistan. Afghanistan was up in flames a month and a half prior to the events that unfolded in Kabul. And the Biden-Harris-Obama regime did nothing to stop the Taliban from advancing. You know, they didn't go into Kabul overnight. But you see, this is old news. And of course, the idea behind all this is Joe Biden avoids it. Now it's an election year, and now the little man can talk tough. Well, this past Thursday, during the State of the Union teleprompter reading, the father, the Gold Star father of a fallen Marine in Afghanistan, Steve Nkui, yelled down at Biden, 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines. Well, the Capitol Police escorted Nikau, 51, out of the chamber at 10:15, around 10:15 p.m., took him into custody. He was charged with crowding, obstructing an incoming Congress, a misdemeanor that typically results in the offender paying a $50 fine. Except it wasn't a $50 fine. Representative Brian Mast, a Republican from Florida, invited Nikau to the State of the Union and helped coordinate his release in the early hours of the morning from the custody of House Sergeant-at-Arms. Mr. Nikau lost his son due to Joe Biden's incompetence and lost another son to grief over his brother being killed. Yes, a second son committed suicide when he found his brother was killed in Afghanistan. Referring to Dakota Halverson, who committed suicide on August 9, 2022. The man and his family have given America more than I could personally bear, and to attack him with a BS charge of demonstrating is a disgrace. You see, a dictator will find a way to squash dissent. But under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, which in fact, Mr. Nikau was peaceably assembling, and guess what? He was petitioning the government for redress of grievances because the coward, Joe Biden, failed to communicate to the family for over 2 years now. He failed to even address the fact that Joe Biden's failed withdrawal, failed fleeing from Afghanistan, resulted in 13 American soldiers dead. And once again, Joe Biden, little Joe Biden, ignored the facts, ignored the crisis, ignored what these families of the 13 fallen soldiers have been through. Not only did Joe Biden ignore what occurred in August of 2021, with the fall of Afghanistan and the 13 fallen soldiers, but Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine has abridged the freedom of speech of Mr. Nikau, has abridged the First Amendment to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And I think, I think Mr. Steve Nikau has the right to redress his government for grievances because of the malleable moron Joe Biden and his failed foreign policies. His failed foreign policies got 13 American soldiers killed in Afghanistan. And the cowardly Biden refusing the families of the fallen soldiers. And now Mr. Nikau, who was exercising his right to free speech, something that Americans sitting in the loft in Congress, okay, in the House chamber, don't have the right, but yet members of Congress now have their own set of rules. I thought the U.S. Constitution applied to everybody. I thought the U.S. Constitution was written for we the people. And members of Congress, they serve at the behest of we the people. But you see, a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And the subversion of language that has been adopted as the main language by the left wing in America, by the establishment in America, by the Washington, D.C. syndicate in America, is to call America a democracy. They want total and absolute power in Washington, D.C. They have abridged our freedom of speech. They have abridged our freedom of religion. They have abridged our freedom to peaceably assemble. They have abridged our ability to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I think Mr. Nikau, whose son was Lance Corporal Kareem Nikau, has the right to petition the President of the United States in a peaceable method and to petition the government for a redress of grievances because we have a coward in the White House. We have a hollow man who is installed to do exactly what we've seen occur over the last 3.5 years. The highest inflation in 40 years. We have an international policy that has resulted in absolute chaos around the world. We have supply chain issues because terrorists are blocking seaways around the world. Terrorists are blocking seaways around the world. We have the highest gas prices ever, ever. Why? Because Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine have adopted the United Nations 2030 agenda and the United Nations Paris Accord. And they took America off of energy independence, which resulted in the highest transportation costs ever. It impacts us at the pump. We're paying 70, 80, 90, 100% more at the pump. It's impacting our savings. It's impacting our wages. But not only that, folks, they can clean sheet this all they want. Dopey Joe can read from a teleprompter how great the economy is. But everything is more expensive as a result of higher transportation costs. And why are transportation costs high? Because the price of gasoline is higher. And it's remained high. And you see, Dopey Joe avoided talking about gas prices escalating out of control. 100%, 200%, California 300% higher than they were on December 31 in 2020. And as a result of gas prices going up 300%, all goods that are shipped by transit have increased. Not only that, our utility costs are higher. I was talking to two senior citizens last week. One of them told me flat out, "Vito, I'm going to have to sell my house." He's 79 years old. He goes, "You know, I'm really sad about this. I'm going to have to sell." I said, "Why do you have to sell? Are you okay? Your health-wise?" "No, my health is good." I can't keep up with the house any longer. What do you mean? He said, you know, over the last 2 years, my utility bill has doubled, and I'm using less kilowatt hours. I said, what? He goes, I have natural gas in the house. Natural gas prices have gone up 60%. So not only has my electric bill gone up by 100%, it's doubled. My natural gas bill now is 60% higher. I said, that's funny. I said, I know a guy up in Minnesota whose natural gas bill went up 67% in the last year. He goes, mine went up 60. I can't afford to drive my car on a regular basis because gas prices now are up again. So now to run my car, he goes, you know what? I can still drive. Yeah, I know you can drive. He goes, but I don't drive at night. Okay. So he says, my medical costs have gone up. My homeowner's insurance has increased. My car insurance has increased. He goes, I can't afford to keep my house, and I don't want the house to go to crap. I've done a great. So bottom line is, this is just one, but it's not just one. Senior citizens under Biden, Harris, and the Obama alumni regime are getting killed because, one, they're probably over the age of working, so they're relying on Social Security and pensions. And thanks to the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni regime, we've seen our retirement plans drop 60%, 40%. Mine's dropped 62% in the last 3 years. Thank you, Joe Biden. And so now you've got inflation that's outweighing wages, and it's outrunning the cost of living. And now Dopey Joe stands up during his teleprompter reading on Thursday and says how great the economy is. That's a flat-out lie. Well, you know, seniors got 8% increase in their Social Security. Yeah, but your Medicare costs went up by 8%. It's a wash. And then, of course, you've got Joe Biden, who has said nothing. And with regards to gas prices, he did nothing in the first year while gas prices tripled. Okay. And then they established a new baseline. And so, again, the disinformation and misinformation that's intentional by Biden and the Obama alumni machine is reprehensible. They're lying to our face, and yet the DNC legacy media continues to cover up for this Frallo fraud. And he's nothing but a crook. He's no different than Bob Menendez, Senator Menendez, who was facing charges. Matter of fact, today he pled not guilty. Isn't it ironic that now Bob Menendez is making the news and it takes the Biden and the Biden crime family off the front page yet again? We're at a point in our country in 2024. We have a real decision to make. Do we want to go down the road of globalism? Do we want this Marxism? Do we want the United Nations to be successful in a one-world government who's dictating the 2030 agenda? And that is the open-door policy that's been adopted by Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni machine. Do we want to adopt the fact that America will never be energy independent? And we're going to go green under the climate scam movement? Let's ask the pizza parlors in New York City how they're going to feel April 27th when they have to ban coal-fired pizza ovens. Go to Lombardi's Pizza on April the 29th when they had to abandon their coal-fired plant oven that they've been using since 1921. It's okay, though, for Mayor Adams, you know, to allow for illegal aliens to piss and crap all over the streets and crime escalating out of control. But, you know, for the 134 pizzerias in New York City, we have to worry about the air quality. That's horseshit. climate scam is a scam, part of the 2030 agenda by the United Nations. And it's something that the Biden, Harris, and the Obama alumni regime have adopted. And they're secretly and covertly implementing. And then they prop up Dopey Joe to sit there and say how great things are. Well, excuse me, on the ground, Mr. and Mrs. America can't afford a Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime for four more years. We're being lied to. We're being lied to the very people in the executive branch of government who despise America, who despise our constitutional republic. They took an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution, and they pissed on the U.S. Constitution. They have absolutely slapped the American people down. They could give a crap about we the people. They could give a crap about Lance Corporal Kareem Nakau or his father, who had the right to petition the government for a redress of grievance. If anybody had a right to petition the government, it's Mr. Steve Nikow, whose son was killed, and Dopey Joe hasn't said a damn word. Oh, well, he blames Trump. Of course he blames Trump. It's always Trump's fault. The Biden-Harris-Obama machine have undid everything President Trump did, which was successful, and it was working. And when anything fails as a result of Biden's failed political life, it's now somebody else's fault because Joe Biden is not man enough to accept responsibility for his actions. But that's not what he was installed to do, so let's not get distracted. You know, I hear all the pundits out there, and I hear all the experts, and all, you know, Joe Biden, you know, this policy. No, excuse me, okay? Joe Biden was installed for one reason, and that was to undo everything President Trump did. And he did it rapidly. And the rapid removal of Trump's policies resulted in chaos. And every day we are being inundated with chaos. We're being distracted, and our eyes are focused on 150 things, when in fact, it's really clear. The Democrat Party, the Republican Party, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. is no longer out for our best interest, we the people. Making America great, I won't put the again on it. First, I will say making America great is not an act of terrorism. Making America great should be the mission statement and the focus of all 535 people in the United States Congress, irrespective of their party affiliation. I don't care that you're a Democrat. I don't care that you're a Republican. But when you start infringing on my constitutional rights, a right that you are supposed to uphold, then it's time for we the people to speak out. And making America great has so many avenues. One, energy independence. We know now, just in three short years, we know now that energy independence brought us lower gas prices, which brought us lower transportation prices, which brought us lower grocery prices, which kept Americans working, which gave us lower transportation costs. Those lower transportation costs also gave us lower utility prices. But somehow now the benchmark now has been raised as far as what is the new norm. We should be paying 40% higher costs. Why? Well, the people of Europe, I don't give a shit about the people of Europe. Let the socialists deal with the socialist governments in Europe. That is their problem. The fact remains that the United States of America is the greatest country in the world. We have the resources to keep and maintain America's greatness, to be the leader. And yet, as the Muslim Brotherhood Credo as the Muslim Brotherhood mission statement is, to destroy America from within. We have governmental agencies, governmental bodies. We have a Congress that has members who are appearing to destroy America from within, and they're ecstatic about it. We have people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a liar. She has been a fraud. She was 2016 rigging the Democrat primary presidential election. She was caught. She was also the chair of the Democrat National Committee. Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz was caught cheating, and there were no consequences for her actions. Not only that, in 2016 and 2017, it was revealed that she hired Iranian nationals, the Iwan brothers, to be her IT people. They had access to sensitive information. All three Iwan brothers have fled the United States when it started coming out. What were the repercussions to Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Nothing. Now, fast forward 5 years later, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is now in bed with Jamie Raskin, the anti-constitutionalist representative from Maryland, and they want to create and craft a bill that would prohibit President Trump from being certified should he win the election in 2024. That's a big S, should he win. Democrats cheated before. The Washington, D.C. syndicate cheated in 2020. What would preclude them from cheating again in 2024? But be it as it may, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, dishonest Debbie Wasserman Schultz, now is crafting legislation with another anti-American to prohibit We the People's Choice for President of the United States, and the Democrat Party has the audacity to state that they want free and fair elections. Is that not an oxymoron? Is that not the greatest of insults to we the people? Use the cliche free and fair elections. In the meantime, tamper with the United States elections. File suit after suit to disqualify President Trump. Then you have to go to the Supreme Court. President Trump expends more money. He'd certify that he should be on all the ballots in America, on the primary ballots. It took the act of the United States Supreme Court bring some sanity back to the election process. The Democrats talk about free and fair elections, and then they unilaterally keep a man off of the ballot in 14 states because they dislike him. He's not part of the institution. So who wants free and fair election? It certainly isn't the Democrat Party. It's certainly not the Uniparty. They despise Donald Trump. Why? Because he's awakened we the people. You've got Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine trying to dismember and dismantle the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the right to bear arms. And we're supposed to accept that when Joe Biden unilaterally decides to start banning weapons? All under the guise of protecting people, right? Oh, here we go. That's what the left was talking about. Oh, it's the protection. Well, wait a minute. In a constitutional republic, we have this individual freedoms and liberties. But in a democracy, you have universal equality. And so with the subversion of language, the left wing takes that universal equality and says, you know, it's only fair that we restrict your rights to guns. Well, you know what? The Second Amendment wasn't put in to hunt deer or for hunting or sporting purposes. It was to protect we the people from an overzealous government as we have now. We have a government who's out of control, who's seeking for more ways to take individual freedoms and liberties. And it's absolutely incredible that we have a press inside the United States who absolutely whitewashes what the executive branch of government is doing, what they have done, what they continue to do. Because if you're on the other side of the political aisle from the left wing, you are considered the enemy, and therefore your rights don't count. And we know that's true because under the Department of Homeland Security, under Alejandro Mayorkas, who is under Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine, they created the Ministry of Truth. The government does not have the right to determine what speech is acceptable. The First Amendment was put in place, why? To allow dissenting speech. Speech that you may not agree with. But in a democracy, they want to eliminate those that speak against their thought process, because their thought process should be the mainstream process. We should spend $4 trillion on a Green New Deal under the climate change hoax, and you should accept that. You know, there's these scientists that, yeah, oh, really? So we have five scientists who say if you, the government can't control sunspots and solar flares, which dictate what? The climate. But no, we can't talk about facts like that. We have to listen to the facts that, well, we're going to lower the temperatures by 1/3 of 1%, and we're going to do that by 2035, and we're going to eliminate all gas power to fossil fuel cars by 2030 in order to get to this 0.3% of this 0.003. And it's like, where are you getting these facts? In 1999, we were told of 1989, it was going to be a freeze over England, and we're going to have climate frost. And then when that didn't happen, they went to we're going to get done by heat. And when that didn't happen, they went to climate change. And in a lot of parts of the United States, we have climate change. We have winter. And then come March 21st, we have spring. And then come June 21st, we have summer. And then come September 21st, we have fall. So we have four climate changes: winter, spring, summer, and fall. All you got to do is call. So we have climate change. But now under the government propaganda machine, that information being rejected as being extremism. And the Department of Ministry was created under the Department of Homeland Security secretively until it was exposed, thankfully exposed, and it was the Ministry of Truth secretary or chair was fired. She was released. That was the retard who sang her way in and was supposed to be, you know, the Ministry of Truth. And it's disgusting. It's the fact that the Department of Homeland Security would even engage in creating that type of department is scary in itself. So all this noise about Donald Trump being a dictator is an absolute lie. The fact is that Joe Biden is the dictator. Joe Biden is the puppet who's been propped up because he's a hollow man. You have journalists who are being thrown in jail. Journalists are thrown in jail. In 2021, 488 journalists around the world, including 60 women, were currently in prison. Just last week, 2 weeks ago, Steve Baker, an American journalist who recorded the events of January 6th. Remember how egregious January 6th is? Oh, the insurrection that Joe Biden falsely read from the teleprompter. Steve Baker is a conservative journalist, political commentator, who actually recorded the events as they unfolded on January 6th, then reported them. Not only did he report them, the January 6th commission also interviewed him and used his videos. And last 2 weeks ago, the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni machine arrested Steve Baker for trespassing inside the Capitol. Not for insurrection, for trespassing. So you have the free press being imposed upon by the Biden Obama alumni regime. And you know, this is a continuation of what Barack Hussein Sator Obama did from 2009 to 2016. Forget about what TV network or what network James Rosen worked for. Why journalists in the United States weren't outraged by the fact that Barack Hussein Sator Obama weaponized the Internal Revenue Service to silence a journalist is beyond me. It should be sheer outrage that the President of the United States ordered the Internal Revenue Service to go after a journalist in the United States because that journalist dared to challenge the sitting executive branch of government. But if that's not good enough, you've got the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime doing the same thing later. And where are the journalists? You know, they like to use that term. Where are the journalists expressing outrage, irrespective of the person's political affiliation? But, you know, you have to preface the fact that this gentleman, Steve Baker, you know, he's a conservative political commentator. Why is that? Is that supposed to make a difference as to why he was detained, why he was arrested by the U.S. Capitol Police? Who ordered him to be arrested, huh? It was okay that the January 6th Commission used Steve Baker's videos as part of their orchestration to build a case, falsely build a case, against President Trump. Aside from withholding evidence, mind you, that also came out over the weekend. But the fact is that this sitting regime, the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime, have governmental agencies to go after their political opponents, to go after journalists, a free press. You see, this is what progressivism has done in dumbing down the youths in America, in dumbing down the people of America with the subversion of language. You know, these pious puppets like George Stephanopoulos, he's not a journalist. How about some of these people who are supposedly journalists like Eugene Robinson, huh? He writes in newspapers and has for the last 30 years. Why isn't he expressing outrage at the fact that a fellow journalist was arrested by the executive branch of government? Why? Or arrested by the legislative branch of government? Where is the outrage over the fact that freedom of the press has been infringed upon by the United States government? Well, you have to assign an identity politics to it. Well, it was a conservative journalist. He entered the Capitol. Excuse me. He was being a journalist, and he was filming what occurred. And that filming was good enough for the January 6th Commission to use. And now he's been charged with trespassing some 2 years later, 3 years later, excuse me, right? 2021, 3 years later. Why? Because he is a conservative journalist. Why? Because now he dares to work for, wait, he works for Glenn Beck's TV station. There you got it. Weaponizing the United States government by a rogue executive branch, by a rogue Department of Justice. And that's what it's come down to in 2024. We are at the precipice right now of social Marxism being implemented and our individual freedoms and liberties being absolutely stolen by the federal government. And they are going to grab this faster that you could grab a $100 bill that's freely floating in the sky. They're going to grab this, and they are going to demonize anybody who does not toe the left-wing socialist line. If you are a supporter of MAGA, Making America Great, You will be targeted. You are targeted. Hell, you could be part of a phony campaign called the Steele dossier. A phony and manufactured charge. Doc, it's a phony dossier. And created by Barack Obama, his regime, created by Hillary Rodham Clinton and her campaign and the DNC. And by the way, who was the chair of the DNC at the time? Oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, little Debbie. There's the name again. Tens of millions of taxpayer money, dollars, was spent investigating a phony and manufactured Steele dossier, which to this day, election denier Hillary Rodham Clinton still maintains the phony Russia, Russia, Russia narrative when it comes to President Trump. There's a woman who not only should be in jail, she should be in Gitmo. She should be in a locked cell with a muzzle over her mouth. Should be charged with treason. 30,000 emails. And yet the establishment in Washington, D.C. covered up for her. She was responsible in part along with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Joe Biden for the events that occurred in Benghazi, which got U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens killed, which got Sean Smith killed, which got Navy SEALs, two Navy SEALs killed, Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty. And Hillary Rodham Clinton, another hollow, cold-hearted woman, another hollow, cold-hearted individual, because I want to keep her in the same category as dopey Joe Biden, had the audacity in a hearing to say, what difference does it make? If it was a bunch of guys out for an evening walk, fuck you, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Out for an evening walk with AK-47s and rocket launchers? A bunch of guys out for an evening walk with AK-47s and rocket launchers attacking a United States compound and killing a U.S. ambassador, and you simply shrug it off as what difference does it make if it was just a bunch of guys out for an evening walk, and then you lied about a movie trailer? Susan Rice lied about a movie trailer? Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama lied about a movie trailer, and the U.S. media did nothing. Did nothing. And to this day, these individuals now are emboldened by the fact that they are above the law in the United States. They make absolutely just reprehensible statements. They call Americans deplorables who support Donald Trump. They demonize conservatives because we support Donald Trump and we don't support Dopey Joe and the corrupt left-wing regime in Washington, D.C. Pelosi's lies. We think it's reprehensible that Nancy Pelosi tore up the President of the United States speech, and there were no consequences for Nancy Pelosi's actions. And what did the Washington, D.C. syndicate, the establishment, the cabal do for 4 years? They berated President Trump. They created a narrative that created instability with President Trump, when in fact President Trump, during his 4 years as president, did more for America and we the people. 90% of the presidents previous to him, including Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, including George W. Bush, including Bill Clinton, including George H.W. Bush, including Jimmy Carter. And the fact that Donald Trump is an outsider makes him an outcast to the Washington, D.C. institution, which created phony narratives. And to this day, yet another charge is being brought against him in order to stop President Trump in his tracks in order to demonize making America great. Why? Because Dopey Joe goes to a venue in where was he? In New Hampshire. 150 people show up. President Trump goes to Concord, New Hampshire. He's got 25,000 people. Is scared. The Washington, D.C. syndicate is scared. Because not only are conservatives stepping up to the plate, but now black America has finally realized that we had enough. We've been used and abused by the Democrat Party. Whether it's the Democrat Party lauding Margaret Sanger, whose primary goal was to exterminate the Negro race, and then some 100 years later, there are now Margaret Sanger awards that Hillary Rodham Clinton received that was lauded for her pro-abortion stance. That pro-abortion stance is to go into inner cities and kill black American children in the womb. And somehow that's lauded. Somehow the same people who are talking about genocide in Palestine, these same lunatics who are talking about genocide in Palestine have no problem with the genocide committed in the killing of babies in the United States. What, 600,000 abortions a year is not enough? 600,000 dead babies is not enough? But oh my God, one Hamas terrorist being killed now is considered genocide? Fuck you. You don't value life. You laud the fact that a Margaret Sanger primary mission was to limit the Negro race, and this is adopted by the Democrat Party. And you want to control black America as if you care? You don't care. You don't care. And the Democrats, thank you, Boyd. The Democrats were the ones that started the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. That was to exterminate the black race. And yet those sick bastards now, are the KKK, are now what the Democrats like to slap the conservatives with, slap the Republican Party with, when in fact it's the Democrat Party who's so much like the KKK, who's so much adopted the Robert KKK Byrd, senator from West Virginia, one of Joe Biden's best friends, his best colleague. I knew Robert Byrd. He was a good man. He was a good friend of mine. Really? Oh, he was a Grand Dragon too. But that doesn't matter. Well, we have to take down a statue of Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, who helped write the U.S. Constitution, who helped form this nation, so we can rewrite history. And yet we could still call a school in West Virginia the Robert Byrd Elementary School. Oh, where are the people who are offended? Are they still in the corner? Somehow that's okay because Robert KKK Byrd was a left winger. He was a Democrat. Joe Biden's best friend, Hillary Rodham Clinton, lauded Robert KKK Byrd. Well, we wouldn't expect anything less from Hillary Rodham Clinton because she is a winner of the Margaret Sanger Award and she's proud of it. But you know what? Black Americans, to their credit, now are stepping outside the plantation box. And they're realizing that President Trump doesn't give a crap about the color of your skin. Because taxation doesn't know skin color. Government can get out of the way of business, of entrepreneurialism, of capitalism, doesn't know color. Being energy independent, guess what? Peoples of all colors, race, and creed benefit from it. They benefit from it. That means they have more money in their pockets. That means that maybe, just maybe, a value system could be instilled and businesses won't be looted and robbed. But somehow that's a virtue of the Democrat Party. It's okay to loot a business because the idea is to create chaos under the Marxist left-wing movement. The idea is to implement the Cloward and Piven and the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. Create chaos. Create an unsustainable debt. A $34 trillion debt. Biden alone, $1.7 trillion over the last year, increased the debt. Just in the last year. And he's talking about lowering the debt. And yet there's no fact-checking. Remember all the fact-checkers that suddenly came out when President Trump was president? All these fact-checkers, they all wanted to fact-check. Well, the fact is that President Trump did get 55 remains of Korean War, U.S. Korean War soldiers returned to the United States. He created a dialogue. And through his Peace Through Strength movement, he made it a mission that all NATO member states pay 2% of their GDP. That's what the charter called for. The NATO charter calls for all member nations to pay 2% of their GDP. Now, I don't know how difficult that is to understand, and maybe it needs to be written in the 32 different languages of all the member states. And when President Trump pointed this out, that Germany, you're spending 1.5% of GDP. Italy, you're spending 0.75% of GDP. France, you're only spending 1.0% of GDP. The charter calls for 2%. The United States is spending 4% of GDP, 4% of money that we don't have. And President Trump brings that up to the member nations. And you would have thought that the German chancellor, the broad from Germany, Merkel, was going to have an orgasm. How dare he do that? Oh, really? Oh, okay. But you're only paying 1.5% of GDP. Why is the United States paying 4%? We are paying the lion's share plus another 2%. And somehow that's fair? And then you've got Putin invading Ukraine, and suddenly the president of Germany, Merkel's gone, says, you know, we need to pay 2% of GDP as the NATO charter calls for. Son of a gun. You bastards of NATO, you leaders of NATO laughed at President Trump. Nancy Pelosi, that evil witch, chastised President Trump for having the audacity to call out the members of NATO. And yet President Trump was right again. And just yesterday, the president of Poland, President Duda of Poland, he is now calling on the NATO alliance now, the NATO nations, to increase the GDP increase the percentage from 2% to 3% of GDP. I absolutely, thank you, Angela Merkel, I love that. You've got member nations who couldn't pony up the 2%, and now the president of Poland says, well, wait a minute, hold on a second, let's make it 3% that we should be spending on defense. Well, let's see what happens there. And of course, Dopey Joe, who knows what he's going to say, you know. NATO, the North American Treaty, I don't know, I founded it back in 1978, that's what it'll say, you know. But the country of Sweden now is a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. Finland has also entered as well. Al had to leave. We'll see gains any traction from the president of Poland to increase the amount of 2% of GDP to 3%. I guess they felt bad that the United States is paying 4%, so now they decided to up it. And I don't know how Sweden is going to afford it now that they've lost Malmo to the Islamic movement. So, but anyways, the European nations now are realizing that it's time that they pay their fair share. You know, the left wing loves to talk about fair share, and all President Trump says, you got to pay your fair share. That's all we're asking. And the left wing lunatics go crazy over the fact that President Trump had the audacity to call out NATO nations. You know, we can't be the gatekeeper for the world any longer. We can't dole out $94 billion going to Ukraine, when in fact the president of Ukraine has become a billionaire as a result of the money that's being poured into Ukraine. He's corrupt as hell. The country's corrupt as hell. And thanks to Joe Biden, Vladimir Putin knew he had the ability to go into Ukraine. And then you have communist China. Isn't it ironic that in February of 2020, President Trump holds a press conference with President Xi announcing that the $535 billion a year trade deficit with China, communist China, is tackled, and a new agreement has come to the front. And within 2 weeks of that joint press conference standing by President Trump, the Wuhan virus is released. And since that time, we have not heard one word about our trade deficit with communist China. Since that time, communist China, irrespective of a global pandemic, has spread their authoritarian rule, their communism around the world. They went to Montenegro to build roads. One of the rules that communist China has, if you can't pay that loan back for us for building your infrastructure, we take land. Got communist China calling in the loan from Montenegro 2.5 years ago. Communist China builds bases, naval bases, on the east and the west coast of Africa. And the U.S. media is worried about Donald Trump sending out mean tweets. Communist China walks into Afghanistan. Not a drop of blood was had by the communist Chinese, not just in the 15 years that we were in Afghanistan, but the 15 years prior to that with communist Russia. Communist China walks. They walk into Afghanistan. And they now have assumed more of the world minerals. Not just the mineral, the world minerals. Without shedding one drop of blood. And we lost over 3,000 servicemen and women in Afghanistan. How many thousands were maimed and injured as a result of that? Communist China has increased the BRICS nations from five to 12. And then trading, not just in the yuan, which is the communist Chinese currency, but in the currency of BRIC nation, and they have removed the U.S. dollar as the universal trading currency. But we're worried about Donald Trump sending out mean tweets. We're going to charge Donald Trump with rape in a civil court and then use that conviction as a means of convicting Trump of rape overall, even though there is no criminal charge from an accuser who can't remember when it happened nor where it happened. Now, we heard from Nancy Mace and several other women who have been raped. They knew exactly where they were. They knew exactly when it happened. And yet a high-profiled individual like Donald Trump in New York City can walk into a high-end department store and not be seen, or any type of department store, walk on the road, walk on the sidewalk, and not be inundated with people, and nobody knows it was him. Right, right, gotcha. Somebody as high-profiled in his prime as Donald Trump is not seen. It's just unbelievable. And again, the subversion of language, especially, you know, by Biden during the State of the Union teleprompter reading. And, of course, yesterday with little George Stephanopoulos, it's amazing how their subversion of language is to program people into believing something that wasn't. And I think, I believe it was Holder who said, esotericism is on the phone. So I'm going to take this cold block. Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio, the Esposito Show. This is Vito. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. And thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
This may be my first time calling in. I may have called in before, but I just wanted to harken back to, you remember when President Reagan gave the State of the Union address after he got elected? This was in the 80s. And he said, can we, the men of state who man the ship, deny that it is somewhat out of control?
I don't remember that. I'm sorry.
Okay. With that being said, you can look that up. Now,
okay,
to fast forward with everything that you're saying in terms of the geopolitical landscape, man, the majority of people, they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But they fall victim to what happens in their everyday life as mm-hmm. a result. So when we talk about the Ukraine and Russia and all that stuff that's going on, man, that, and you know this very well because you sound to me like a historian, this has been going on since the 1930s and 40s, and the Ukraine, and it's Russia, and Russia is the Ukraine, and they go back and forth, and then they proceed through the paradigm of the political establishment, and they just kind of like redirect everything to make it look like it's something different than what was really going on, when it was really the same exact thing that was going on in Germany in World War II. Because when they did their first invasion, where'd they go? Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where'd they go after that? The Ukraine. That was the first spot they went. So we see history repeating itself, and we're going through the same machinations, but it's like the general public is just not getting up to speed. You're up to speed, and I'm sure your listeners are up to speed, but it's like the overwhelming majority of the population is just like, we're in the digital age now, social media, YouTube, OnlyFans, internet, Instagram, whatever the case may be. So we have these weapons of mass distraction going on that doesn't allow us to see what's actually going on in front of us. And I just wanted to say one other thing.
Okay.
When you were talking about Joe Biden, and they did the State of the Union, I chimed in on that really late because it's just really hard for me to watch politics right now because it's just so crazy. I just don't understand it from just a logical standpoint, not meaning that I have any personal investment in any particular person or party. Mm-hmm. I just don't even understand what they're talking about anymore. And then I'm watching Joe Biden, and he's coughing after every sentence. He's choking up, and I'm like, and this is not personal. I'm like, this dude is too old for this job. But then we got the other guy, Trump. They're trying to put him in jail for whatever it is that they say he did. He's under federal indictment and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, is this what the Republic has come down to now? We got a guy that we're trying to incarcerate who was president, who's going to win the nomination with the Republican Party to become president again. And then we got this other guy who looks like he should be fishing in Oregon, fly fishing or something. Dude, go sit down somewhere. Go do something else. So I just wanted to know what you, in that broad spectrum, how do you feel about that, where we're just given this, these choices that don't even make sense?
Great question. Okay. So last month I came across, and I believe it was on Twitter, and I think it was Holger, I came across a video of from 1966 of a former FBI agent, Dan Smoot. And there's actually a 10-minute video, and then there's a short 50-second, which I play audio. And in that 50 seconds, it explains, and of course the 10-minute audio video actually from 1966 explains where we are today. And I, first of all, you hit the nail on the head with chaos. You alluded to that. We're inundated with all kinds of distractions, and that's all by design. And that is the Cloward and Piven method that is being thrust upon us, and it's being done. It was first done by the Obama regime, and now it's done by the Obama, Biden, and the alumni regime to distract us. And, you know, you have the Democrat Party that's talking about free and fair elections when, in fact, the American people now like what President Trump has to offer and what he offered and what he delivered, because now there's a track record. And in my opinion, he made his presidency look easy, despite the fact that he was trying to be derailed by all fronts coming from the establishment in Washington, D.C. And despite their best effort to derail him, he continued and he moved on. And he delivered lower gas prices. He delivered energy independence. He delivered a safer world. He delivered the extermination of ISIS, or the temporary extermination of ISIS. Delivered bringing back the remains of 55 Korean War soldiers from North Korea, something that we're told that should have never happened, as far as being able to have a dialogue with a dictator. Like, that's the third rail of politics. And yet President Trump, he actually touched the third rail with North Korea and with Israel since 1948, we've been given lip service by 9 presidents who promised to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to the American embassy is usually in the capital of a country, and he moved it to the capital of Jerusalem. He was told it was going to cost $2 million, and he did it for $500,000. Little victories like that, and then the biggest victory, which I think blindsided everybody, was the fact that he had the Abraham Accord, and he sought to bring peace between the Arab world and the Israelis, which there should be. You know, the Israelis... The Israeli people travel to Turkey for vacation. The Israeli people travel to Doha for vacation. Why isn't there a free trade with these people, with these countries? Why? Because Turkey's Muslim, Islamic. You've got Saudi Arabia is Islamic, and they can't deal with the Jews. But then you have a terrorist area of Hamas controlling Gaza, and they're dictating that they will never They will never trade with the Israelis, and they deem them as apes and pigs. And yet it was President Trump who realized and knew that the terrorist group Hamas was the thorn in the side and excluded them. And guess what happened? It marginalized the Palestinians, and he brought peace. He brought a semblance of dialogue between Israel, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, even Qatar and Jordan, Jordan being the neighbor. I mean, that was absolutely unheard of. And in the process, you had the Washington, D.C. establishment creating and manufacturing these crises in order to discredit President Trump. Why? Because Jerry Nadler wrote a six-page manifesto. Jerry Nadler wrote a six-page manifesto in November of 2016 titled How We Resist Trump. And that was the main focus by the Democrat Party and the establishment in Washington, D.C., never to normalize, never to legitimize President Trump. And, you know, that's pretty sad when a man, the only interest President Trump had was America's interest first. And never before have we had a businessman who had his name, his ego, his name was on all of his businesses around the world. He's done more than any one of the 535 members of Congress. He's done more than the career politician Joe Biden had done in 50 years. And all his main interest was putting America first. But, you know, I'll go back to Dan Smoots, esotericism. Listen to this. Just listen to this. 50 seconds.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
I mean, everything that Dan Smoots, Agent Dan Smoots said in 50 seconds is so true. You know, a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. Isn't that the goal of the Democrat Party? If they continually call by the subversion of language, they refer to America as a democracy, they know that that subversion of language means at some point in time they will become the dictator. Why are they hell-bent on dismantling our Bill of Rights to have a democracy? We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. At least we should be.
Let me add something to that. Did you ever see the movie? And for all your listeners, did you guys ever see the movie Wall Street, which I always recommend to people?
Uh-huh.
The original Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. You remember when he tells Buddy, when Buddy comes into the office, when Buddy finds out that Gordon Gekko had bought up the airline and then broke it off and sold it. Guess what he told Buddy? He said, "Buddy, you didn't think we were living in a democracy, did you?" You remember that?
I do.
You remember that? Now, what the movies do is they tell us the truth. But what they do is they couch it in fiction so that it doesn't throw off our equilibrium in terms of how we're living in the world. So when we watch movies, we look at movies like, oh, it's just fake. It's just fiction. But in actuality, they're telling us the truth because Gordon Gekko told them, "Did you think this is a democracy? This is capitalism. This is," and then he went on, let me take it a step further. He said, "The price of the paperclip, famine, upheaval, everything. We do that." And here's the most important thing he said. I create nothing. I own.
Well,
that's your motto. That's your motto.
Unfortunately, government wants to own, and government wants to own our rights, and they are stealing our rights. They are stealing our individual liberties and freedoms. They're stealing it under the name of national security, and they're not providing the national security. And unfortunately,
well, this goes back to what you were saying before. Now, this is where China comes in, because China is the new superpower. It's not the United States.
Right.
Because China owns most of the land in the what we call the United States is owned by the British Crown. That's the whole Boston Tea Party, taxes, all of that. That's where that comes from. Now, when you were talking before about China, China holds all the capital reserves of the United States. That's all the money in the bank. They own that. So now China comes up and they buy everything, but they don't change the name. They don't get you fooled. Everything remains the same. And I'm going to use an example. TikTok. Guess who TikTok is owned by?
Communist Chinese.
And guess who's killing it with TikTok?
The Communist Chinese.
And guess who the biggest users of TikTok are?
The United States. Yep.
Yep.
Not China,
and,
by
and
the way.
That, go ahead. And what I just wanted to say, just to draw a conclusion, that's where the game is being played. So you were right on target with everything that you were saying about China and the United States and the relationship and the geopolitical landscape. But this goes back to, what's our man that was president? Nixon. He was the first one that brokered the deal with China.
Yes, he did.
Under Henry Kissinger.
Sure. And it was George H.W. Bush, I believe, who was the envoy to China at that time, I believe.
Yes, he was. And then you had Clinton, who brokered the deal, being from Arkansas, and Walmart was from Arkansas. He brokered the deal, which did the whole NAFTA agreement, which gave China the foothold on the north of North American Free Trade Agreement.
And NAFTA.
China became the biggest exporter of manufactured goods. And if you watch things on YouTube and things like that, all that stuff that they're talking about instituting in the United States with robots and kiosk and all that, man, if you go on YouTube, if you go to a fast food restaurant in China, in the United Kingdom, anywhere, it's kiosks. You just hit a flash screen. There's nobody working there. And your food comes up. And your food comes up. I'm telling you what I know. Go check it out. You guys can go and Google, not even Google. Go on YouTube and watch those little mukbangs and people that are eating overseas, and you'll be seeing stuff on the menu for Burger King and McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken that we don't even have here. And guess what? They're not talking to anybody. They go in. There's a flat screen. There's a menu that they can swipe up, down, left, and right. They can just hit everything they want. And then all their food comes out. I'm serious.
I will definitely do it. So, hey, I got one more segment to do. And, you know, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. And please call again. A great phone call. You know, we have a choice. you know, between a dementia-riddled old man or Donald Trump, who they're trying to put in jail at ad nauseum. So we know where we stand right now. So tomorrow's going to be interesting, and the future's going to be interesting.
I appreciate you, my good man. You have a great show. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay positive. And
Thank you. Don't let
detractors run you off the rails.
I appreciate that vote of confidence there. Thank you. So please call back again, okay?
All right, will do.
You take care of yourself. Be safe out there.
Bye-bye.
Great call from Esoterrorism. Absolutely great call. He's right, you know, and Holger is correct with regards to the choice between a dementia guy or a guy who may go to prison. And the idea is that the establishment wants Trump in prison so bad because they know if he's elected, it only empowers we the people. One other note from the State of the Union teleprompter reading by Joe Biden, and I'm going to end with this. You know, the one thing that Joe Biden has done was to avoid the border and the border crisis that he created. And it turns out that there were 90 executive orders or some 90 executive orders that Joe Biden signed at the behest of the Obama alumni machine that absolutely opened the border and removed all of what President Trump had in place, which was working. And it was working. You can't deny that. You can't deny that. For 3 years, Joe Biden placed in a basement and he's been eating ice cream. And suddenly we're in an election year and Joe Biden now is talking about a border and now blaming Congress. And he did so in the State of the Union reading and on the teleprompter. And in addition to that, he was called out by Marjorie Taylor Greene to say the name of the lady who was killed by an illegal alien, an illegal unvetted, unvaccinated alien who had been twice arrested and released under the Biden catch and release program. And that would be that has been enforced by Alejandro Mayorkas, another chimpanzee of the Biden regime. Well, here's Joe Biden, a snippet of it. If you're eating anything, please put it down. Okay. If you're drinking something, you may want to stop drinking. This is the malleable moron Joe Biden, a 50-second clip from the State of the Union teleprompter reading.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress and the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner, not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegal? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself.
Uh-huh.
I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by.
Well, thanks to Joe Biden, that was his policy, and suddenly he's going to be the authority about the $8,000. But the issue was he couldn't even say Lincoln Riley's name. He called her Lincoln Riley. Now, I'm sure it's because it was not on the teleprompter and he couldn't read it, and he tried to make a statement, and once again, Joe Biden failed. He's been a failed politician his entire political life. And it's reprehensible that the president of the United States, who caused this chaos at the border, who has absolutely allowed the invasion of the United States over the last 3.5 years, with some 15, perhaps 20 million illegal aliens pouring through our borders, not only pouring through our borders, but being transported by this government into the United States as well. And Joe Biden couldn't even give the respect of calling Ms. Riley by her correct name. He called her Lincoln Riley. Now, if President Trump or any Republican would have misstated the name of a lady who was bludgeoned to death, killed by an illegal alien, the legacy media would have went absolutely apeshit over the fact that he couldn't say her name. It's Lincoln Riley. But you know what? You call an illegal alien illegal, and people like Nancy Pelosi, the left wing, they go nuts. They want to correct it right away. It should be undocumented. It should be, you don't say illegal alien. Oh, really? Nancy Pelosi had to offer the correction. The left wing had to excuse what Joe Biden stated in referring to the illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated alien who killed Lincoln Riley. And they had to quickly backtrack on the term illegal. Lincoln Riley was a 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia. She was killed by a Venezuelan illegal alien. And Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and the Obama alumni machine are more concerned and feel bad about using the term illegal, but no one's fucking apologized for calling her Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley. I mean, think about that. There's more outrage by Nancy Pelosi because Joe Biden used the term illegal than mispronouncing not once, twice, Lincoln Riley's name, because it wasn't on the teleprompter that Joe Biden was reading from. Once again, the malleable moron had to wing it. This also vindicates President Trump once again, folks. Remember, President Trump had a travel ban on 7 countries, including Venezuela. Why? Because you couldn't vet one Venezuelan citizen because of the corrupt communist government. There is a reason why President Trump placed 7 countries on a travel ban list, including North Korea, including Venezuela. You can't vet one illegal alien. And this inept regime, are they inept or is this a planned chaos? Once again, they have proven President Trump right. President Trump's instincts, President Trump's policies in these 7 nations, and the establishment tried to paint President Trump as an Islamophobe, as a bigot for having these 7 countries on here. And now we've seen firsthand a result of the lack of vetting. A Venezuelan citizen who was once, twice, now 3 times a felon, although he's not been found guilty of killing Lincoln Riley, but soon will be. There is a reason for placing this ban on individuals, on countries, for the lack of vetting. Oh my God. Is it too much to ask for a candidate for president to revere the United States of America, to revere the U.S. Constitution, to revere the Bill of Rights, to revere we the people? Unbelievable. And once again, President Trump proven right. Well, there's a cue that we're at the end of our show. I want to thank Esoterism for the call. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. Wednesday evenings right here on Global Patriot Radio, we've got Hank Jones and Polly Sports. Hank's on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Great show. He's got a little panel, his brother, and Iowa Mike, Hawkeye Mike, and a couple of his friends. One's a lawyer and who was a law clerk for a couple of justices. So we got to get some inner inside info. Saturdays, check out the Minister Samet Dakduk and the beautiful Christian revealing the truth about Islam. Minister Dakduk is despised by the Hamas care and despised by the Muslim Brotherhood because he speaks the language, he knows the Quran, he's an expert on the Quran, he's an expert in Christianity and theology, knows the Bible. Very much a threat. And he's a great man. He's a wonderful man. So check out Usama Dakduk's show on Saturday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, some other shows to check out on Blog Talk Radio. Check out Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. That's Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Annie at Southern Sense Talk Radio. If you want a break and an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. That's S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com. That's Simone Nicole. Great self-help show. Also, check out Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, a great American. Check out Audrey Russo at AudreyRusso.com. That's A-U-D-R-E-Y, Russo.com. She's got her own radio network. Fantastic show. And tonight, I believe at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Joe Gibson is going to be on Blog Talk Radio. So check out Joe Gibson. He's a great American restoring our republic. Want to thank everyone for being in the chat room, being out there in podcast land. Check out a great blog. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Excellent blog spot, 7 days a week. Great stories in there, not only from the United States, but around the world. Big does a fantastic job. So thank you, Big. Thank you, Boyd, the Alaskan. You get the Mama Mia and Osheri. You're in the chat room quick. Esoterism, thank you. Holzer, holy cannoli. It's Holzer in the chat room. Snowman James, thank you very much. The Alaskan, Boyd. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue. God bless you all. God bless you out there in podcast land. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have Frankie just take us out my way. And, listen, tomorrow is election in Georgia, the primary election. President Trump could sew it up for the GOP. Dopey Joe, of course, will win Georgia because there's no competition, and that's the way the DNC wanted it. So you all be safe out there. Thank you for joining me. Ciao for now.
Yes, it was my way.
Show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.